Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
In week three of the Beyond Vision campaign, and we've been learning principles from the book of Joshua and the Israelites as they stood on the edge of moving into taking hold of covenant promises, promises that God had made, leading them into, and that began under the direction of Moses. And God had led the Israelites out of Egypt, where they had been slaves for 400 years. He brought them out. He was ready to take them in. They weren't ready to go in. They didn't take that step of faith. And they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years until Moses had died. And now, here they were again, right on the edge of the promised land, something they had failed to enter into years before. And as a result of their lack of faith, it was devastating. They wandered, as I said, in the wilderness for 40 years. And in week one, we saw that after the death of Moses, God spoke to Joshua and he said, now it's time to go in. And he said to Joshua these words, be strong and courageous. And we talked about what it meant to have strong and courageous faith. It was going to require strong and courageous faith. And then last week, we looked at how Joshua had sent out spies to be able to plan and prepare, and how important planning and preparing are. But those spies we saw, when they encountered somebody by the name of Rahab that God decided to use, an unlikely person. How many know God uses unlikely people? The people that we look at, or we may even look at ourselves and say, I'm one of those. Let me tell you something. Don't discount yourself. God can use you right where you are. And we learned how God had used Rahab to not only protect the spies, but also to encourage the people. And as the spies returned back to Joshua and the people, they came back very, very excited. Their hearts were bursting with joy. And this is the report they gave to Joshua. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 24. This is the report. They said this. They said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. That was great news, wasn't it? That's the news they wanted to hear. That was a different report than what the spies had come back in Numbers chapter 13. And so immediately Joshua had dispatched men throughout the vast camp of Israel announcing that the next morning they were going to break camp and they were going to move down towards the Jordan River. They were going to get ready to cross over and to be able to receive what God had promised. Can you imagine the excitement? After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, after missing it the first time and now getting a second opportunity, and as they were on the verge, there was a little bit of fear and apprehension, but God reminded, be strong and courageous, be strong. Okay, be strong. Let's send out some. They come back. Hey, we've heard of the report, man. God is in it. We get it. God is in it. Yes, let's go. Right? Let's go. Oh, I don't know if you're getting excited enough. Let's go. Man, unlike the generation before, we're ready, Joshua. We're behind you. We've seen God move. We've seen what he's done. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Joshua 3:1. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. This was a crossover moment. This was a crossover moment. Do you know that there are times and moments in life that are crossover moments? Crossover moments are those moments where you have been someplace, but God's about ready to do a new thing. God says, I want you to cross over into a new thing. Here's where you've been, but here's where I'm taking you. And there are those transition moments in our life from where we are to where God is taking us. And there are some of you personally, you've experienced these in your life, and some of you are in those moments right now. You've been waiting, you've been hanging, you've been praying, you've even been in your own wilderness for a little while, and you're wondering, God, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do what you promised to do? And you see, God's been calling you into something. You know he's calling you into something. Sometimes, I remember the salvation experience, right? man, I'm living one way, and man, life is a mess, and I need hope. And then all of a sudden, there's a crossover moment where I've invited to follow the Lord, and I've got to step out of what was and take hold of something that's unfamiliar by faith and reach a hold of it. There are crossover moments that we experience in our lives. And for the Israelites, this was one of those moments. God was wanting to take them from where they were, what they had been, how they had been in the wilderness, how they had been wandering in the wilderness. And he said, listen, it's time to cross over and take hold of what I promised you. It was a crossover moment. And the people were ready. They were ready. In fact, it says that they left early in the morning. Any early morning people? Some of you got up early just to watch the U.S. and Canada in hockey. And don't tell me. I don't want to know until I get out of here what happened. Some of you are watching it on your phone right now. Maybe it's over. I don't know. This was a crossover moment. They were going to step out of the wilderness. And so they got up early in the morning to make a 10-mile hike to the Jordan. But as they approached the famous river that formed the barrier from their past and where they were to where God was wanting to take them, that long for real estate that God had promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that they had only heard about, but God was about to take them in. As they get down there and the light of day starts to come up, they saw something confusing and dreadful. The Jordan River was at flood stage and it was uncrossable. Here they are, they're excited, we're about ready, we're going to go over, we know it, we heard the report from Rahab, God's in it, let's do it. And then they come to the Jordan and it's like, oh, that's not what we expected. You ever been there before? In fact, Joshua 3:15, the first part of it says, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. During that time, let me tell you something, the Jordan overflows its banks through the harvest season and it stretches nearly 200 miles from Mount Hermon to the Dead Sea, furiously plummeting from Mount Hermon approximately 1,300 feet below sea level. Normally, the Jordan's not very difficult to cross. It's normally just about 100 feet. It's shallow, it's narrow, it's easy to cross. But during this time, all of a sudden, this is not the right time to cross the Jordan. This is the time of year where the mountains of Mount Hermon are melting, the snow is melting, and it creates the flood stage down in, and it's wide and it's raging, and the dry wadis that now flowed in the Jordan were currents that were inundating the main river. It was no longer mild and tame. During the dry season, its widest point was about 100 feet, as I said, now over a mile wide. The banks of the river had bushes which were then non-discernible, easy to get caught up in. At flood stage, the Israelites were at an impasse. This was the sight that greeted hundreds of thousands of Israelites as they were ready to cross over following what Joshua had said. The Lord has said, it's time to cross over. And they take the trek down early in the morning only to find that the place that they're supposed to cross is impassable. Wow. What would you do? What would you do? They pitched their tents along the river, and this is what Joshua 3:2 says. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp. I just want to pause. I don't want to read the whole verse. Consider this. After 3 days, the officers went out throughout the camp. Don't miss it. How many days? They sat there for 3 days. Okay, what are we going to do now? We had it all figured out, right? God said, now what are we going to do? We're here and we're just going to stare at the barrier that's in front of us. We just get to stare at the Jordan that's at flood stage for 3 days. We just get camped there. I think the Israelites, every heart pounding, every family, it wasn't just those who were able-bodied, but every generation, those that were older, those that were younger, those that had babies and kids. And how are we going to get across? Even if some of us were strong enough to get across, how are the rest of us going to get across? I don't know what to do. This is impassable. This is a barrier. Did Joshua miss timing? Did he miss God's timing? Maybe God was saying, but was now really the right time to do this? Was this the right timing? Did God really say this was the time to cross over? I don't know about you, but I find that it's easy to relate to emotions like these, especially when we are caught with something we did not expect. God says move. God says obey. And we're going, okay, I'm going to do it. And then all of a sudden we get a bill in the mail, or we get something that we didn't expect that comes up, and we go, well, I don't know what to do now. I can't do that. This isn't the right, I don't know how, that's not even possible. How am I going to do it? God, did we miss your timing? So many of us face personal Jordans, don't we? They feel permanent and powerful sometimes. We're stalled, we're stuck on the wrong side of God's promises, and we want to take those steps of faith, but as we get down to it, we can't help but notice the Jordans that are at flood stage as we stand there going, okay, God, I know what you're asking me to do, but I don't know how. I don't even know how. How am I going to do this? What am I going to do? I feel stuck. Even the most seasoned followers of Jesus, all of us feel that way at some times. Stalemated and blocked by all kinds of barriers. What would God bring them to now? What would he do now? Why did he bring them here at flood season? God, do you even know what you're doing? God wanted them to see something. He wanted to see something that we sang about earlier, right? We open with a song, right? Nothing is too hard, right? No mountain he can't move. No waters he can't part. Come on, I heard it, right? Anything is possible. Come on. Some of you weren't in here for the opening song. That was our opening song this morning. I encourage you, get in here early. Put your coffee down and come in here a little earlier. Get here a little earlier to drink coffee. I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. I'm not really not teasing. You really should get in here on time. You miss out when you're not in here on time. Anyway, that's extra. Now you're going to get mad at me. I understand. But we sing these songs, don't we? Nothing that's too hard. Waters he can't part. Mountains he can't move. Nothing is anything is possible. Oh yeah, anything is possible. Until I walk out of this room. And I see that doctor's report on my little app that comes up where I get it before the doctor does when I get a test done. Don't you hate that? Some of you probably like that. Then you Google it. That's the worst thing to do. Right? Ah! You know, or that bill comes, or you look in your chat, you're like, what? I don't understand. I thought I heard from you. Wait, nothing is impossible with you, God. Right? With God, all things are possible. It's even on our dollar bills. Maybe it's not on our dollar bills. I forget. Maybe that's just the motto for Ohio. I don't know. I'm getting all confused today. Whatever it is, it's out there. We know it. We say it. But God, is it too big? When we talk about the sanctuary renovation here, remodel, revitaling of Chardonnay G, partnership with LifeWise, building future ministry capacity, going on missions trips with teams and getting them sent. We might hear voices that whisper, that's too much, Pastor. That vision is just way too, that's too big. Is God really asking us to do all of that? That just seems too big. I mean, is this the right time for that? I mean, the economy is so uncertain. I mean, there's more tariffs that are happening. I don't even know. What if we can't do it? What if we don't raise the funds? What if we don't have enough? What if we can't do it? What if this is flood season? Right? But Joshua 3 shows us that flood season is exactly when God works. God works in the flood seasons. We like the testimony and the miracle stories, but the miracle stories and the testimonies don't happen when it's easy. Don't happen when we can easily do it and justify how we did it and didn't need God. Right? The flood seasons are when God works. In fact, one of the taglines that God gave us way back in the summer as our team was praying about this and we came together and we prayed through and we came together of the theme beyond, one of the taglines was beyond barriers. beyond barriers, that God is calling us to go beyond barriers. He wants to take us beyond those barriers, those mental barriers that we have, and those faith barriers that we never can seem to get past because we don't have enough faith to trust the God who can do the impossible. This was the great question, though, that loomed over the camp in Israel, that looms over our lives. Will we walk by faith or will we walk by sight? Joshua 3 demonstrates something that echoed throughout Scripture, and that is this. This is what Jesus replied. What is impossible with man is possible with God, Luke 18:27. I believe that we stand on the brink of a God-sized vision, a God-sized future. A God-sized future, and when we consider the obstacles, it can feel like we are at the Jordan at flood stage, and it goes, God, can you possibly do this? How are we going to get across into the new season that you have prepared for us? How can we take this crossover moment? How can we get across that? Well, God led Joshua and the Israelites to that Jordan at flood stage, and we're going to see some steps here that they took, and that every person in life who is in a crossover moment, these are principles that translate to personal lives, as well as I believe that translate to our church, that move us from being grounded to grateful, from being marooned in the past to marveling at God's future that he has for us. The experience and the decision here of Joshua chapter 3, what the steps they took in Joshua chapter 3 provided a breakthrough in their lives. It provided a breakthrough through this next generation. And I believe that there were some major breakthroughs here that we see in Joshua chapter 3. And so here's what we're going to do today. Today we're going to look at four keys to overcoming barriers. If you got barriers, four keys that we learn here in Joshua chapter 3 to overcoming barriers. Number one, focus on his presence, not the problem. Focus on his presence, not the problem. Joshua 3:3-4. This is where it continues. Giving orders. Remember, he sent the people all throughout. After 3 days, he sent the people all throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Man, there's a lot in there. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. So here they were. They were camping for 3 days. Their eyes were just simply seeing the floodwaters of the Jordan, saying, is this your timing? Is this your timing? God, what do you want to do? God, what do you want to do? I imagine Joshua and the leaders praying together and talking about it and saying, God, how are we going to get across? Now what do? We came down here. How are we going to solve the problem? What are we going to do? And here's what happened. Joshua, after 3 days, since the leaders, they're having their convos. I imagine they're having their conversations. He says, listen, I want you to go and tell the people. Here's what you're going to tell the people. You're going to tell the people, I want you to go and fix your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. On the Ark of the Covenant. You know what the Ark of the Covenant is? The Ark of the Covenant is mentioned seven times, in chapter 3. It's mentioned seven times in chapter 3. What was the Ark of the Covenant? It was that sacred chest that was made of acacia wood, overlaid with pure gold. It had gold rings on the side that they would put poles through so that it could be carried by the priests on their shoulders. They weren't to go near or touch the Ark of the Covenant. We know later on when David was bringing it up and they put it on a new cart that they didn't have it by the poles, and when it stumbled, the oxen stumbled and it was going to fall, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady it and he passed because it was holy. It was holy. You see, on top of it was a mercy seat that was made of pure gold that covered the entire length of the chest, with two cherubim facing one another. Inside were the two tablets that held the Ten Commandments, the covenant that Israel had made with God and that God had made on those covenants. That was what was inside the chest, along with the manna that symbolized God's miraculous provision for them while they wandered in the wilderness. God provided for them bread daily. Bread, and then Aaron's budding staff, and the Ark of the Covenant was the primary symbol of God's presence among his people. God has always wanted to be among his people. He's always wanted to be among his people. It was housed in the innermost part of the tabernacle called the Holy of Holies, and the glory of the Lord rested upon it. It was literally the dwelling place of God. So when Joshua sends the leaders out and he says, listen, go throughout the camp. Here's what you're to tell the people. Keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. Keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. What was he telling them? He was saying, keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God. You need to put your attention there. Because why? You have never been this way before. You have never been this way before. When you're in a crossover moment, there are a lot of things that are unknown to you. A lot of things where you don't know exactly which way to go, what direction to take, what decision to make. Let me tell you something. The key to overcoming that fear and that barrier is to keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on His presence. And when God moves, you move. When they saw the Ark of the Covenant, the priest carrying it, and the Ark moving, they were to move. They were to follow. They were to go where God was leading them. And they weren't to crowd too closely. He said, stay at a distance. Stay at a distance. Why? Why stay at a distance? Because if everybody crowded, they wouldn't be able to see the Ark. They wouldn't be able to keep their eyes on the Ark. But at a distance, everybody could keep their eyes on the Ark and they could see, God, you're leading here. We're going to go. You're leading here. We're going to go. We're going to follow you wherever you go. The message was clear. Don't put your eyes on the floodwaters. Put your eyes on God. That's our tendency though, right? When we experience barriers, our focus immediately goes on the barriers. Our immediate focus is on the things that are not possible for us rather than keeping our eyes on the God of the possible. The one that is greater than all of the impossibilities. And when it comes to the beyond journey and we're overwhelmed by budgets or building plans or different things that seem impossible to us, the barriers that we experience, we only overcome those barriers by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. And when He moves, we move. When He moves, we move. That's the way we prioritize His presence. And in your own life, when you're in a crossover moment, when you're in a moment where you've got a barrier, get your eyes off the problem and get your eyes on the one who's able to solve the problem, the God of the possible. Secondly, consecrate before you cross. Consecrate before you cross. Joshua 3:5, you're like, consecrate? What does that mean? I'll tell you in a moment. Joshua 3:5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate in Hebrew is kadosh. It means to be hallowed, set apart, consecrated, set apart, prepare, dedicate. Joshua is telling the people, set yourselves apart, prepare yourselves. Basically, prepare your hearts, prepare yourselves. Set some things apart, set yourselves apart. It's a Hebrew word that points out our responsibility. How many know God, we have our responsibility in this? Our responsibility, keep our eyes on Jesus and begin to prepare our hearts for what He wants to do. Consecration in the Old Testament involved spiritual preparation. It involved cleansing. It involved washing your clothes, abstaining from sexual relations, changing your work schedule and things that would interrupt your life. In other words, set aside some time to get your heart ready and right. Make sure that you're right with God, one. And number two, make sure that you've set aside time to prepare your heart to be able to hear from God. That's what consecration means, to deliberately interrupt the good and the normal functions of life because of God's command in order to prepare your heart spiritually so that you can be spiritually alert for where He's leading. Why? What was the motivation? Because tomorrow the Lord is going to do amazing things among you and you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Friends, I'm going to invite you and let you know that when you're in a crossover moment, you need to set aside some time. I don't have time. I'm too busy. We always figure out ways to make time for what's important to us. We make time for what's important to us. Set aside time. If you're in a crossover moment, if there are barriers you're experiencing, set aside time to pray. Set aside time to fast. Set aside time to prepare your heart and say, God, What do you want to speak to me? God, where are you leading me? God, what do you want to do in me before you do something for me? Listen, this is a spiritual journey that we're on as a church. I am calling you this week. I am calling you, take some time, if you haven't already, take some time this week, set aside some time, and spend some time with the Lord and say, God, what do you want to do in me? What do you need to do in me? What do you need to prepare in me? What do you need to do in my life? That's why we're setting aside time Wednesday night with prayer and fasting. That's why we've had the prayer journals. That's why we've been, as a team, praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. I want to encourage you to do that. Set aside time to pray and fast and seek the Lord. What does God want to do in you? Why? Because I believe that we're on the verge of God's about to do some amazing things that we have not yet seen. And we've got to prepare our hearts and be ready for what God wants to do. We've got to be ready for what God wants to do. Consecration is a strategic reorientation of our hearts. It's to take the focus off of our selfish desires and put them on God, who's the giver of life. It's about finding our heart's true home. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for I'm about to do amazing things. So let me invite you, take some time, pray, fast, seek the Lord and say, God, what do you want to do in my life? Ask him to prepare your hearts, because I believe he's about to do amazing things. Number three, step into the water. Step into the water. I'm going to read a few verses, Joshua 3:8, and then we're going to flip to 12 and 13. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go in and stand in the river. Now then, here's verse 12. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Now here's the part that challenges everything. The water did not part until they stepped into it. The water didn't part until they stepped into it. Now, this is vastly different than when God was leading them out of Egypt. Remember when God led them out of Egypt, the plagues, they came, they were at the edge of the Red Sea, right? And what did God tell Moses? That the people said, oh no, what are we going to do? Our enemies are pursuing us. What do we do? God said, stand still and watch what the Lord does. Moses, raise up your staff, right? And when Moses raised up his staff, nobody had to get wet. The waters just parted. But this was going to be something new. This time it wasn't about Moses raising up his staff. It was about the people stepping into the water before God would ever part it. You got to step into the water. You got to step into the river, but I don't know what's in there. What if the currents are going to carry me away? What if I step in and they don't part? I got some questions. I mean, how muddy is the bottom? And those bushes, and what if I step on one of those bushes and I can't see? It's raging. You really want me to get in there? If I get in there, how do I know I'm not going to be swept away? These are real questions. Is it safe? Can I really do that? These are good questions, and they're some of the questions that arise every time God is wanting to bring us to a crossover moment in our lives, whether it's geographical, emotional, spiritual, relational. There are some questions that don't get answered until we start to take a step of faith. Some questions don't get answered until you're willing to take the step of faith. Ultimately, God doesn't always answer the questions until we step into the Jordan. God did not hold back the waters until they put their feet in. That's the way that God works, isn't it? That's the way God works. Jesus said to the disciples, there's a crowd of 5,000, feed them. Oh, how are we going to do that? I mean, all we have is a little boy. He's got like 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't know what we're going to do. Jesus said, feed them. Well, I don't know how we're going to do that. Take those 5 loaves and 2 fish. Let's bless it. It wasn't until they were given and broken that God was able to multiply it, right? The widow that we talked about last week that Elisha went to, God, give me a meal. You got to bake me some bread. Wait a minute, this is all I have left. Listen, you don't see the provision until you're willing to give it, until you're willing to step into the water. until you're willing to see it. Abraham didn't see the provision for the sacrifice until he was willing to walk up the mountain and put Isaac, the most treasured person that he had in his life, the promise of God, literally lay it down on the altar. And it wasn't until he was willing to lay it down on the altar and bind him and hold the knife over before God provided the provision. Listen, sometimes the provision that we desire to see doesn't happen until we're willing to step into the water. We don't receive the miracle till we're willing to step out in faith. In our beyond journey, stepping into the water might look like making a sacrificial pledge. It might mean serving in a new ministry area. It might mean inviting someone to come to church. It might be believing for spiritual growth where there's been stagnation, saying yes when it feels like flood season. See, nothing had happened until they moved. God doesn't remove the barrier until they acted. But let's see what happens next. When they obeyed and they stepped into the water and they kept their eyes on the ark. This is what Joshua 3, 15 and 16. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap at a great distance away so that the people crossed over opposite Jericho. When they stepped in, God provided the miracle, and that leads us to number four today. Stand still and watch God work. Stand still and watch God work. You take the step of faith that God has called you to take, and then you stand back and you watch God do the miracle. Imagine the scene. All the people, their eyes on the ark, positioned high on the shoulders of the priests who were there. They're waiting in the shallow waters of the river. And then everybody with a clean heart, they consecrated themselves. They prepared their hearts. They were spiritually alert. They were watching to see if God would do something. God, what are you going to do? How are we going to get across? They took that step of faith. And then all of a sudden, someone noticed, hey, the water seemed to be a little shallower. The water seems to be going down. Can you believe it? And then up the river, beyond their sight, they saw it starting to mount up. And somebody said, look over there. It's starting to mount. Look over there. Look over there. It's something has stopped, right? The riverbed was dry. All the way south to the Dead Sea, Joshua 3:17, the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground. Dry ground. It wasn't even wet. It wasn't even muddy. Wasn't even difficult. Their chariots, the wheels wouldn't get stuck as they went through. The children could pass safely. In the middle of the Jordan stood on dry ground with all the Israelites passed until a whole generation had completed crossing over on dry ground. The thunder of the river replaced by the thunder of God. His people moving as they moved across. So amazing the event that they wrote about it in Psalm 114, 3-7. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains leaped like rams. The hills like lambs. Why was it, sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams? You hills like lambs. Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. You see, once they took a step of faith, they had a chance to see the very glory of God that led them to be able to write about it and say, we got to see the miracle of our God. We got to see the miracle of our God. We got to stand still and watch what God did. The barrier that was in front of them that said, you cannot cross, no way. All of a sudden, the floodwaters gave way to a highway because they were led by God. God is the God who can make a no way into a highway. God can make a no way into a highway. He's the one that can do it. Every God-sized vision that you have in your life, every crossover event where God wants to take you from somewhere where you've been into something new that He desires to do, will require faith. There will be a Jordan in front of your way that says, no way, you can't get through. No way, you can't do it. No way, you're not going to get on the other side. You're going to be stuck in this wilderness forever. Here's the barrier in front. And God says, no, that's not the way it needs to be. Here's what I want you to do. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. But God, the Jordan is overflowing. God, I don't see how. God, it's overflowing. God, it's overflowing the banks. This seems impossible. God says, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Prepare your heart. Consecrate yourself. Get yourself ready. Consecrate your heart. Allow your heart to be ready and spiritually alert. And as you do, God says, I'm going to speak to you. Here's what you're going to do. This is the step of faith I want you to take. I want you to step in. God, I don't know if I can do that. I could get swept away. What if this doesn't work? What if this, I don't understand. What if this isn't safe? What if something bad? What? I don't understand. God says, listen, I want to take you into something new. I want to take, keep your eyes on me. Get your heart spiritually alert. Be obedient in what I'm telling you to do. Take a step of faith, even when you can't see it, for what I'm prompting in your heart, and stand still and watch the miracle that I'm about to do. It's only when we thank God for what he's done in the past. We just thank God. You can't just stand on the banks and thank God. God, this is what you've done in the past. Well, God, thank you for the past. God, thank you where we've been. You'll never move into the future that God wants to bring you in. It's great, but God has a future prepared for us, right? He's got new things that he wants to do. Listen, we're not just remodeling a sanctuary, friends. We're making room for others to receive salvation. We're not just partnering with Chardon Assembly of God. We're strengthening a gospel witness in our community. We're not just supporting LifeWise. We are shaping the eternity of children's hearts in our community. I believe this, friends, that we're at a crossover moment as a church. I believe that God wants to take us into something new, something we prayed for, something we believe for, something that we've desired, something that even generations before have prayed into for this church, where this church, God desires to position this church, and miracles that he wants us to see in this church and lives that are going to be changed. We are ready on the verge to be able to step into it, but we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we've got to make sure that our hearts are ready and prepared for what God wants to do. And we've got to be willing to take a step of faith, even when it doesn't seem like it's something that we should do. I don't know. We got to be willing to step and get our feet in the water and then stand back and watch what God is going to do beyond whatever we could ask or imagine. Furthermore, I believe that there are personal Jordans in this room. Some of you are going through some things. You're facing some things. You're standing here this morning, and some of you, you're Jordan at Floodwaters. You've got a financial barrier in your way. Some of you have a spiritual barrier in your way. There's some things we sang earlier, break every chain. Some of you have been bound, and God wants to break you out spiritually. Some of you have a fear barrier, a relational barrier, maybe a health barrier in your life. Some of you are on the verge. You know God's been inviting you and calling you, but you've not been willing to step out in faith and say, God, I'm going to follow your call on my life. Maybe you've been standing on the shoreline waiting for the water to move first, and God's saying, no, 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 I need you to step into the water. I need you to get your feet wet. Flood season is not the sign, friends, that God is absent. Worship team, will you come? It's the very sign that God is about to display his power. So today, I want to invite you, keep your eyes on Jesus. Ask the Lord to begin to prepare and consecrate your heart for what he's about to do. Be willing to take a step of faith and step into the water because you feel that God is inviting you into something. And stand back and say, God, we're going to watch you move. We're going to watch you move. Let's go beyond the barriers. And let's believe that God is going to take us beyond whatever we could ask or imagine. And we're going to see miracles for his kingdom. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you're here this morning, maybe you're at a crossover moment in your life, and you know the old life. You know the life that you've been living, life that has been marked by sin, a life where you know that you've fallen short of the glory of God, a life that you struggle with guilt and you struggle with shame, and you don't know if you died today that you would spend eternity with Jesus. You're not sure that you're right with God. And today, Scripture says, consecrate yourselves. And maybe today, you need your crossover moment today is to step in and follow and receive that invitation that Jesus has been prompting your heart to say, I want you to follow me. Will you follow me? Will you give your life to me? Will you allow me to cleanse your heart? Will you allow me to set you apart today for my kingdom, for my glory? today, that might be your crossover moment. You need to say yes just simply to following Jesus. If that's you this morning, will you slip up your hand? I need to follow Jesus. Today, I'm in a crossover moment, but today, I'm going to step in the water. I'm going to lift up my hands, and I'm going to say, I want to follow Jesus today. I want to follow Jesus today. I need to invite Jesus into my life today. I want to follow Jesus today. Yeah, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Secondly, you're here and you say, you know, I'm at a place where there's some barriers. You've been talking about this vision and I want to be able to participate. I want to be able, but there's some barriers in my life. Maybe a personal Jordan. Maybe you got some things that you believe God is leading you into, but you just don't see how it's possible. Some barriers in your life. And you say, Pastor, I just need prayer today so that I can begin to follow and keep my eyes on Jesus. I need prayer today to break through the barriers that are in my life. I need prayer today to be able to break through those barriers. You've got some barriers in your life, and you say, I need God to break down those barriers in my life. Will you slip up your hand, Pastor? Will you pray for me? There's some barriers that I've got to work through. Yeah, there's some barriers that I've got to get through. Personal barriers I've got to get through. Yeah, to step into what God has. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Father, you see the hands that have been raised today. God, for those that raise their hands for salvation, I'm just going to invite you to pray with me right now. If you raised your hand for salvation, this is your moment to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. You're crossing over. I want you to pray with me. Dear Jesus, I thank you today that you brought me here so that I might hear your invitation to follow you. Lord, today I get my feet in the water and I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin, to cleanse my life. I decide today to follow you. I put my faith in you today as my Savior. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And Jesus, I just pray for those, Lord, that have barriers in their life. Some, Lord, with financial barriers. Some, Lord, with barriers in their marriage or their relationship. Some, Father, barriers in their health. Some, Father, that are struggling with fear barriers. Some, Lord, that are bound, Lord, in addiction or bound in things they just can't seem to break free from. Jesus, spiritual barriers. Lord, you're the God that breaks barriers. You're the God that makes a way where there is no way, where there is no way. You're the God that makes a highway in the midst of the sea. That's the kind of God you are. And Lord, no matter what we face, Lord, we know that you're able. We can stand back and watch. You're able to break the barriers. You're able to make the way where there seems to be no way, that we might be able to follow you. Father, I pray for each person that, Lord, as they prepare their hearts, as they keep their eyes on you, Lord, that what you're calling them into, as you call them to take a step of faith, to step into the water, whatever that decision is, whatever that step of faith is, that God, you would just give them the courage to take the step of faith so that they might see the miracle that you're about to do in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.